There are about 7,000 spoken languages in use in the world today. And obviously that's for those, for people who can communicate verbally. But there are also languages that are based on hand signs. You'd have seen a number of people signing, and there are all kinds of versions of signing as well. But there's also touch. It's another way of communicating if you can't do it verbally. And I know a lot of people today are concerned about the way that we do communicate with each other. There's not so much, it doesn't appear to be so much spoken word now as more typed word. If you think about all of the apps we have on our phones, you think about email, texting, WhatsApp, Facebook, a lot of it is typing, isn't it? It's not actual face-to-face or spoken communication. Lots of people are really worried about that. And I think I'd count myself amongst that. It's too easy to fire something off, isn't it? And then to step back from it. And actually it's much harder to do it face to face. But actually I think there's also a positive as well, because I think it might be aiding to the amount that we do actually communicate. I think we might communicate more. Now what the value in some of that communication is, I wouldn't like to say. If you see some of the things that are on Facebook, you think, I'm not sure why you ever put that on in the first place. Because there are all kinds of interest, you know, I don't particularly want to know that you've done that, but obviously some people do. But we all crave the company of other people, don't we? Yeah. Yes, hopefully we do. We all crave the company of other people. And I trust we thrive on communication. There are no relationships, whether that's relationships in the home, in the workplace or in any other context where we can survive without communication. And when we speak with our friends, you know, we share important pieces of information with them, don't we? But we also share the day-to-day. We share the big things and we share the small things, the little things. We share situations that concern us or excite us. We share our plans. We share our dreams. We share our secrets. About everything. And if we don't, can we really call them friends? And that's also true of our relationship with God. Just think about Moses for a moment. Moses was one of those people that the Bible refers to as God's friend. We're told that he spoke to God face to face, speaking and being spoken to, communicating about both the little things and the big things. Because they were friends. What a privilege to have a friendship as Moses did with God himself. But thanks to Jesus, that intimate access to God that Moses had, we also have. Isn't that wonderful? Jolly good. Well, it excited me when I was thinking about it anyway. You know, we've become children of God, haven't we? Through what Jesus did on the cross, God has adopted us as members of his families. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. That is amazing, isn't it? And we do that when we receive Jesus into our hearts. And then when we now have this amazing privilege of being able to talk to God in prayer about anything, at any time and in any place, knowing that he hears and answers our prayers. We can find intimacy with God through communicating with him in prayer. When we take the time to speak to God and listen to him, we can't help but grow in our love of him. Communication is absolutely vital. And without it, relationships fall apart, don't they? So this morning, we are starting this 9-week journey, which I trust will help us both individually and as a church to grow and deepen in our prayer life. I trust that we will all want something that goes just beyond just rushing into God's presence, giving him a list, doing all of the talking, and then not even listening to him. A little bit like this.
Whoa, Jesus, I am sorry I'm late. Traffic was a nightmare, you know how it gets out there, and my alarm didn't go off, so It's just been crazy all morning long. Let me just finish this text. Thanks for waiting.
That's okay, John.
All right, down to business.
You could come.
So, just a couple things. So let's just get down to business because I have limited time because of my job. Speaking of which, that is kind of my first request, and that's my job. If I could get maybe a small raise over the next couple months, hopefully before Christmas, that would be really awesome for me because I could really use it. So also, our pastor and his wife are out of town this week, so just safety for them. Which brings up the assistant pastor. So his sermons, if we could just give him conciseness, maybe. Do you know how long it took us to get through the tribulation period? Anyway, so my cell phone also is on the fritz. Oh, was on the fritz. Silly me. So thank you, Sprint. you may have had a hand in it. Anyway, my mother, my father, my sister, my neighbor Linda, the one with the back thingy, because, she kind of calls me to help her and stuff. So if you could answer that and heal her, that would be good for both of us. Whatever works for you. My football. Oh, yeah. Hang on a second. Hello? Yeah. No, that's supposed to be Tuesday. Tuesday at 7. No, I already called the office. No, I already called them. What do you mean? No, that can't happen. 9 o'clock will not work. No. Oh, that makes me so mad. How can they do that? Lord. No, not you. I'm sorry. Hey, Mom, I'm going to call you back, okay? All right. Sorry. So, Lord, the football thing, it may seem kind of selfish, but it's not really. It's actually for a friend of mine. My friend Hank is a really big fan, and it would look really, really good if I could get tickets to the upcoming game, the one this upcoming weekend. Just throwing that out there. It doesn't have to happen. It would be awesome if it did, though. And can you read what I wrote here? I think I was dreaming at the time. Oh, time. I got to get to work, Jesus. I'm sorry, as much as I hate to do this, I got to say amen. So, amen? Can you get this? Okay.
Come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
It obviously takes it to extremes, but it's making a very good point. How do we come into the presence of the Saviour of the world? Do we come in with our list? Do we rifle through our list and then perhaps something pings us on Facebook? Or there's a text? Or there's an email? Do we let that interrupt our time with Jesus? Interesting, isn't it? That's got you quiet. I pray that through this series that we are going to see great things happen. I pray that our prayers are going to change things. They're going to change us. They're going to change others. And they're going to change us as a church. And so up until Easter, we're going to be looking at the purpose of prayer, the privilege, the priority, the power, persevering in prayer, and the practicalities that I talked about earlier. Now, the disciples saw in Jesus a tremendous commitment to prayer. And probably that's what prompted some of them to say, and we read it in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us a prayer, teach us how to pray. And so that part of that verse is going to be our verse taking us up to Easter. We're not going to have a verse that spans the whole year. We're going to have three or four verses that we take during the year. And I pray that that will be our desire for each one of us, that we would say to God, teach us how to pray. And when that question was asked, Jesus repeated to them the very same pattern for prayer that's found in Matthew 6. And so I want to read that to you. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll be just looking at verses 5 to 15. So it's Matthew 6, 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, this is a different incident that's found in Luke, but it's basically the same pattern for prayer. And what Jesus is saying here is, I don't want you to pray like the Pharisees, to do it before men. I don't want you to pray vain repetition like the pagans do. And I don't want you to pray thinking that you're informing me of anything. I don't want you to pray like that. That must have hit the disciples really hard, because the Jews in the past had given prayer a priority. And when I was preparing, I almost thought about telling you how the Jews of the past actually prayed. But what happened over time is that they seemed to lose all of that. And man-made rules came in, and there was all of this repetition, and the Pharisees wanted to look important. So that priority place that was given to prayer just sort of seemed to fade away. They'd abandoned the purity of the prayer that they had in the past. It had just sort of become a religious exercise for them. They had their little formulas, their little set prayers, and they prayed at set times. And all of that by Jesus' day had replaced genuine prayer. Now, when we pray, God isn't up in heaven with a pen and paper writing down whatever we say and saying, oh, thank you for mentioning that. I didn't realize that that was happening at all. I didn't know that was going on, because he already knows what we need before we even ask him. Which, if we really think about it, causes us to ask the question, well, if he already knows what I need, then why am I asking him in the first place? If he already knows what I need, what's the point of prayer? But as soon as we ask that question, we're on the verge of a major breakthrough in prayer, because I think we're starting to realize that the primary purpose of prayer isn't to get something, but to know someone. It's not to get something, but it's to know someone. The main foundation of prayer is to demonstrate our need for God. Simply put, we are a needy people, and our greatest need isn't the air we breathe, or the food we eat. Our greatest need in this life and the life to come is God. Perhaps we need to refocus our thinking about prayer. You see, everything in Jesus' model of prayer seeks to glorify God. It seeks to lift up his name. It seeks to exalt his holiness. Our Father in heaven, that's God's paternity. That's God's fatherhood. Hallowed be your name. That's all about God's priority. Your kingdom come. It's all about God's program. Your will be done. God's purpose. Give us today our daily bread. God's provision. And forgive us our debts. God's pardon. and lead us not into temptation, God's protection. If we think that prayer is for us, we've missed the point. All prayer is by absolute contrast to bring glory to God. When we pray for someone who's not saved and they come to Christ, it's not for our sake that he did it. It's to show us the power of his salvation. When we have a physical need and we pray to God that God will meet it, it's not so that we can have what we want. It's so that we will know that God meets our needs. Now, it's not that we don't ask for things. Of course, we ask for things. Jesus teaches us what we should ask for. We should ask that God's name be hallowed, that his kingdom come, that his will be done, that he provides for our daily bread, the forgiveness of our sins, for God's guidance and leadership in our lives. Those are the things that we ask for. We ask for all of these things. But before we even get to that, we need to realize that the purpose of prayer, I would say the primary purpose of prayer, is simply being with God. I think it's why Jesus said right before in verses, he said that when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is teaching his disciples and us today that there's a reward just waiting to be experienced and enjoyed by going into God's presence, even before we start to ask for anything. I don't know how you start your time with God, whether it was just like we saw on the video, whether you rush in and you start, or do we actually just sit and enjoy and just rest in the presence of Almighty God? I don't know, but I trust that it might be. So what I want to encourage us today is to experience that in prayer, to get before God, and before we even start to ask anything, just enjoy being with him. Just worship him. Jesus is saying there's reward that's just waiting for you. Amen. And I think that's what it is. That's the reward. Amen. And as an effect of coming to the Lord in prayer, we become more and more intimate with him. And that intimacy gives us the opportunity to know his heart and his character better. Prayer is connecting our heart to God's heart. And by knowing his heart and knowing his character, our hearts eventually become after his own heart and character. We become more Christ-like, don't we? No wonder David was labelled as a man after God's own heart. David was always constantly in communion with God and for the most part obedient to him. So that even when he faced the many trials that he did and the temptations, he was able to overcome that discouragement because he knew God's heart. And despite having personal stumbling blocks and all of those things that went on in his life, he was able to live out his life in a way that was pleasing to God because God had transformed him from the inside out. And as we continually and unceasingly pray, our hearts draw nearer to God and he draws nearer to us. When we make time for him and call on him, he loves it. He loves us to come into his presence. We pray because our voices and our prayers are a sweet sound in his ears. James writes in 4:8, he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. It's not talking about distance or anything like that, because God's Spirit lives within us. It's talking about drawing nearer to God in our hearts. Now, husband and wife can be standing next to each other, but their hearts can be miles apart. And that can happen with God as well. See, the Pharisees honoured God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. They were far away. They missed the primary purpose of prayer, to develop an intimate relationship with the God of all things. When we have that, when we have that intimate relationships, our words, our actions, how we treat people, will just be an overflowing of that intimate and loving relationship. And just like David, we are being transformed from the inside out. And so the way that we treat others, there should be a transformation in that. And this verse shows us as well that God really enjoys fellowship with us. We're his children. He's created us in his image. And so he enjoys us coming before him. If God announced that there was no such thing as prayer, if he said, you can't talk to me, and I'm not going to talk to you, I won't intervene in your affairs. If you want help, you're on your own. We wouldn't have a prayer, would we? Literally, we wouldn't have a prayer. But the good news is God does want us to pray so that we can get to know him in a better way. So my question for us is this. Do we truly value our relationship with God enough to spend time talking to him, listening to him, and worshipping him? That's something for us to take away and think about. And maybe do a little audit of our own prayer lives. I haven't got it sussed. I know I need to do an audit. I know there are some times when I do a lot of talking and I don't do enough listening. So what I'm trying to do is to spend more time listening and trying to make sure that the first thing I do is worship him for who he is, make my requests, but then spend time listening and hearing what God wants to say. And I pray that might be the same for all of us. We'll all do it in our own different ways. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for the privilege of prayer. We praise you for the joy that is found in simply being in relationship with you. Lord, we don't take this lightly. We know that we don't deserve it, and we know the cost of it. And we thank you for your grace. We're in awe even right now at the fact that we're talking to you and you are listening to us. That you, the God of the universe, right now are listening to us. Help us, we pray, even as we ask for things, not to bypass the wonder of the fact that we are with you. That you are Father in heaven and you know what we need even better than we do. All glory be to your name, Father God, for inviting us into your presence to experience your reward every single day. Amen. Amen.